Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 13, 2014. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And, yeah, in an emergency, you can always use my cell phone, which is 316-619-4886. That's 316-619-4886. And you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address. All this is at our blog, which is at prophecyhour.com. But if you're one of those people that do not use internet or listen on satellite radio, or by telephone, you can simply call me for any questions that you would have about this program or anything else. So, anyway, let's have a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest or today's guest, depending on where you're at. It'd still be today instead of this evening if you're on the Pacific Coast. So, I know, why quibble over funny things like that, right? Where I'm at, it's 5 o'clock Central. And so, anyway, let's get on. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio goes according to your will and not my will. Father, please let our guests have ears in which they can hear the truth and do something about that truth. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is Theodore, goes by Ted Shubat. He's the son of Wallen Shubat, former PLO terrorist. At age 16, Ted released his first book, In Satan's Footsteps, which has been followed up with For God or for Tyranny, and that's available right now. He wrote it this week as I was looking through his dad's site, and I assume it's his too. He wrote an article, and I saw it posted, and it was about Christians being held for ransom. And then after they were held for ransom, they were simply still killed. And so I've asked him to come on and talk about Christians being slaughtered in Muslim countries. And I'm looking at his dad's side, or I'll ask him whether it's, you know, jointly his and his dad's. There's several articles that he's written about persecution of Christians in Muslim country. So I would actually call that slaughtered in Muslim country. So let's get him on, and we'll talk about it. Ted, are you there with me?
Yes, sir. Good to be on.
Well, I'm glad to have you on, and the first time you were on was a few years ago, but anyway, I've been looking at, you know, I go to your, now is that your dad's site or family site? How does the Shubat.com?
Shubat.com?
Yeah.
Well, it's really our, I mean, my father is the founder of it, but nonetheless, me and him are the one running the whole website, so me and a few other people, so it's really a joint group, cooperative movement and a cause that we do. And we are working tirelessly every single day, showing people what is happening in the Muslim world, especially, in regards to the slaughter of Christians that is taking place literally every single day, when you have, and here's the thing also is we founded an organization called Rescue Christians. And you can learn more about this organization at rescuechristians.org. And what we do, we founded this organization in 2010. What we do is we actually have contacts in Pakistan, in Syria, and in Iraq, in Jordan, and in Turkey. And what we do is we actually rescue Christians. We take Christians and we rescue them. We take them to other countries and to also into safe houses. In the last year or so, we have actually rescued over 1,000 people in Pakistan specifically. Because when we began this organization, we began in Pakistan. Now, let me just give you guys some examples of the type of horror that we deal with. We rescued a girl by the name of Tanya Rubeka a number of years ago. She was a Christian girl living in Pakistan. She was kidnapped by Muslims, raped repeatedly because after she refused to convert to Islam. They use rape as a way to force people to convert to Islam in these countries. And they sold her as a sex slave to another Muslim group. They tied her body to a tree with a rope, lacerated her flesh with knives, burned her whole body with cigarettes, and raped her repeatedly over and over again. And they did this multiple times as a means of torture, sadistic sexual torture. We ended up having to rescue that girl, and we placed her in a safe house. Her and her mother rescued her from these people that wanted to keep her as a sex slave. Men who wanted to rape her savagely like this. This is the kind of torment that we hear about and we are confronted with on a weekly basis here in Rescue Christians.
Okay, a couple of things. Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to ask you some more information about that Rescue Christians. In fact, I had planned on it anyway, and some more examples. But first, a couple of comments from me. Which they'd probably rather hear you anyway. But first off, most assuredly, you know, I deal with my other program is Prophecy Hour, and I interview many people that, you know, they talk about being in the end times and everything. But I bring up the situation of Christians being slaughtered left and right in all these Muslim countries, and yet it seems like they totally ignore it, or they kind of yawn and want to go on to something else. And I've had a fellow on that actually a ministry that he works for over there, like you, to help Christians out. He says he can't even get into the churches to talk about it, that the pastors won't.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think that? Any comment on this?
I have a lot to say about that because I know exactly what you're talking about because I've seen it firsthand. How many pastors have officially decided to help us in this endeavor? Answer: none. And you bring up a very good example of the prophecy enthusiasts, people who emphasize all on prophecy. They want to talk about prophecy, end times, prophecy 666, the mark of the beast, apocalypse, et cetera, and really what that is just sensation. It's mania. The reason why they're not interested in the persecution of the Christians, there's several reasons for this. One, because the prophecy industry, that's what it really has become in many ways, is an industry. The prophecy mania industry is Eurocentric and it is America-centric. It is focused only on the Western nation, specifically the American and Western Europe. And it believes that the apple of God's eye is just focused on those two places. That's why when Obama becomes Obama, the Antichrist, Pope Francis reaches the pontificate of Pope Francis is the Antichrist. They assume that God is just focusing on Europe and America all the time. And God does not focus on the Middle East, when in fact the whole Bible, the entire Christian church, was founded in the Middle East. Yet we're not even focusing on that. Secondly, I believe that there is a discrimination, not toward Middle Eastern people per se, but toward their type of Christianity that we many people in the West are adverse to. Because in the Middle East, the Christianity is of a almost completely different style than what you see in the United States. In the United States, the church has become an industry. The church is about sensation. It's about signs and wonders. It's about having visions. It's about feeling good about yourself. In the Middle East, it's not about that. In the Middle East, the majority of Christians in the Middle East are either in two types of Christianity. They're in Catholicism, or they're in Eastern Orthodox Christianity. So in America, we think, oh, hold on a second. The Roman Catholic Church, that's the Antichrist. That is the harlot of Babylon. So those Christians, those aren't even Christians. And I've seen this firsthand where Protestant people have told me, well, they're Catholics or they're Eastern Orthodox, so if Muslims are killing them, it's simply heretic killing heretic. What are you talking about? You see, that I would say plays a major role in this indifference. So people think that, well, Christianity in America, good old Puritan Christianity, because we see ourselves, because many people in America see themselves as, in a way, descendants of the Puritan tradition. They see American Christianity as the pure form. So these other Christians, who cares about them? They don't even think about them. So that would be my analysis.
Well, that's a very good analysis. Absolutely. So really, so my premise here is because of ignoring what's going on over there, they really don't know where they're at prophetically at all, nor are they ready for any sort of tribulation. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I agree. And if you read the scriptures, especially when you read the four gospels, Jesus emphasizes a lot on suffering and persecution. I mean, if you read it, I've read all four Gospels from beginning to end, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right.
You read all of them, and it is just filled with Jesus talking about sacrificing yourself, carrying up your cross, denying yourself, giving your life for your friends, being not afraid of death. That's why he says, do not fear the one who only can take away the body, but can condemn the soul to hell and God. So in other words, fearing God more than death, Christianity is a faith that emphasizes on dying for a cause that is greater than yourself. And so when we read that, and then you say to yourself, wait a second, Jesus suffered. I mean, we know that the apostles all suffered. We know that every single one of them was persecuted. Every single one of them, besides St. John, was martyred by the pagans. Pretty much all of the earliest Christians from the first 300 years and even beyond that were persecuted by pagans and heretics. What makes us more special than God himself? If God himself deigned to become flesh and suffer and die a martyr, what makes us so special? What makes us see? And we think, oh, don't worry about it, Ted. I'm just gonna fly. I'm just gonna be raptured. There's gonna be no persecution for us. Why all of a sudden we think we are more special? And this is the problem I see in the Western world, where many of the Christians, and this goes back to what you were talking about, many of the Christians, they just think we're God's special people, and God will not allow us to be persecuted. Well, how come God's allowing the other Christians in the Middle East and in Pakistan and in Central Asia and in the Far East? They're all being persecuted. They're inferior. God does not favor them. You see?
Yeah.
So when we look in the end times, we cannot throw out the factor of persecution. That's why St. John says, and I saw the martyrs that were beheaded for the cause of Jesus Christ. And it talks about how those who reject the mark of the beast will be persecuted by the Antichrist. And also it talks about how the Antichrist will be a worshiper of a god of fortresses. He will advance this god of war. So there's going to be violence. There's going to be persecution in the end times and in the time adjacent before the last days. So we cannot throw out the factor of persecution in the end times.
Okay, well, very, very, very well put. Let's go with this. Yesterday there was an article that came out, and this I decided to bring this up because of something you said about beheading. There was an article that came out in WorldNet Daily last night, about 11 o'clock, I guess, that your dad wrote, and he included some videos. There were video links in it, and they were pretty horrific. The first one was them being a line of soldiers or a line of men being executed by pistols or rifles, whatever, and they were saying some Muslim thing over them. But the one that was the most horrific was a man getting his head basically sawed off with a small knife, being beheaded, and your dad said it was ritualistic. Can you address that?
It was. Absolutely, yes. Me and my father, we both co-authored that. My father found the footage and translated it from Arabic to English. And the Muslim stuff that you referred to is very significant in that it is a prayer of ritual human sacrifice. That's what the whole point of the article is about, was to show that within Islam, though there are heretical elements, there are also major pagan elements within this religion, this ideology. So with that said, the prayer that was said in the video before they executed the victims was, on the behalf of the Sunnis, O Lord, accept our sacrifice. We bring to your altar, we bring our sacrifices to you, O Lord. And the Arabic word that the executioner uses is qurban in the prayer. A qurban can only refer to a sacrifice, a propitiatory sacrifice, to a deity. That's why in the translation, my father put, to your altar, we bring the sacrifice. So this is explicitly, outrightly, blatant ritual human sacrifice being done by Muslims. And people think, oh, no, this is kind of a new addition to the religion. It is not. It is an innate part of the Islamic faith. Because, let's not forget, Islam rejects the crucifixion openly in the Quran. It says God was not crucified. Jesus was not crucified. It was an illusion. People thought that he was crucified, but he really wasn't. So, therefore, it rejects the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, what happens when you do that? Humanity, by nature, we need a sacrifice for our sins. So what happens when you reject the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? You will only replace it with another sacrifice of blood, atonement. That's why every pagan civilization had human sacrifice, because there is this concept that we have that blood needs to be shed for our sins. So if it's not God and the flesh doing it, then who is it then? It has to be another human being. So Islam is, like Hilaire Belloc said, all heresy leads to paganism. So Islam is a heresy, and it is simply going down the road of every pagan religion. It's just natural for this to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. It is horrific. And so there's my point. You know, the word talks about, being specifically beheaded for Christ, and we have these video. I mean, the evidence is right there in front of us. All we have to do is click on it like that, and yet they still ignore it. That really just drives me insane. In fact, I've been on kind of a tantrum, so to speak, for a year now because of all this. It's just been getting more and more on me, and I'm trying to find people to talk about it and bring it into Bible prophecy point of view, and nobody will touch it. Some even of the best guys other than your dad and you, absolutely, let's just say the Shoebop Ministries, other than that, maybe Joel Richardson, and he's worked with you guys, but there's just very few of you that will even acknowledge it.
Yes, and it goes in accordance to that mindset of they just want to focus on prophecy mania, the end times, and that's it. When in reality, there's so much more detail that we are not putting into perspective. And one of these details that needs to be put into perspective is the issue of who is being persecuted, and not only that, but who is helping the persecuted? And there's another thing I would like to say, is that Jesus says to the apostles that there will be people who will kill you, thinking that they are doing God a service. Now, while pretty much all English translations renders that verse in that fashion, in that way, there is another translation that was done, another rendition of this verse that was done by the ancient church father, Theodore Albuquerque, Bishop Theodore Albuquerque, and he translated it this way. He said he rendered it this way. There will be people who will sacrifice you, thinking that they are doing a favor to God. Something. Wait a second. Now this opens up a whole other doorway. Expands the picture a little bit more wide in that. It's not really just merely beheading somebody, but it is beheading somebody thinking that you are sacrificing someone to a deity. And we see this in Islam. We see this in Islam. And here's the thing is, this is happening at a daily basis. I mean, some statistics show us that over 1,000, over 100,000 Christians are butchered every single year. Just in the month of February alone, over 200-something Christians were butchered in Iraq. That's just in
really?
1 month. Yes, and after the removal of Saddam, the Christian population was precipitously, I mean, declining dramatically, very, very quickly. And from 2 million people, there's only, they say, some people say 400,000 Christians in Iraq. Some people say there's only a few hundred Christians left in Iraq, or a few thousand Christians left in Iraq. So the war in Iraq actually was very detrimental, extremely detrimental to the Christian population in Syria, in Iraq. And now we're seeing it also in Syria. One of our contacts
Let me break in.
Jordan.
We're getting ready to go to break. Let me break in. Give me, what website do you want us to give today?
Go to Shubat.com, and also go to rescuechristians.org. That is rescuechristians.org. Give what you can, $5, $10, $25. Does it matter?
Okay.
Give any amount of money that you want, and all the money goes directly to saving Christians.
Okay, and I want you to whatever you want to talk about that, we'll allot some time for that, because I did want to talk about that. I'm impressed with it, and we'll talk about that after break and some more examples. And so, folks, stay tuned. We'll be back in 3 minutes with more Christians being persecuted.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for the work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We need your help because we really don't get any help from any organized churches. They always, the churches around Wichita always say, well, you guys are doing a fine job, and they send more people to us just like the agencies do. But help, really? No, they don't do that. We have one church that helps around in December. But other than that, we really don't get any help from Wichita. So why do so many people come to us for help when all these agencies, they have so much more money? Well, they come to us because they're treated as family. And then after that and beyond that, we have no set guidelines. Like program, people just walk in and ask. That's the rule of things. We treat people with love, which is really, back to that, it's our first answer. Love is the first answer. That's why people come to us. And they walk in the door and they ask for something. I don't go down a list and say, well, they don't follow the program of what I do or blah, blah, blah. But it's whatever you need. And then we pray about it. And if we have the way to fill the need, then we do it. That's how it works. This is why the agencies tell their employees about the Potter's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We're the last hope for so many people. And, folks, we are responsible to care about one another, and which really matters a lot, especially in the programming that we're talking about tonight. You know, we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help. And, in fact, what I want you to do tonight, instead of me giving you my contact information so that you can make a donation to the homeless and poor, I want you to pray about whatever that you might decide that you would donate tonight for us. Don't do that. I want you to donate it to the ministry that Ted Shubat's talking about tonight, because this is a high priority, and this is about saving Christians' lives. Are you still with me, Ted? Ted?
Yes, sir. You hear me?
Okay. Okay. I got you. Again, we're back. Tell them first where they can find out the name of the you know, Rescue Christians, and tell them about that a little bit, and then we'll go back into some more examples.
Of course. They can go to rescuechristians.org. That is rescuechristians.org. And they have the option of giving however much money they so desire to give. They can give $5, $10, $20, $25, $30, $50, or whatever. It doesn't really matter, because all the money that they send, all of it, we don't make a dime out of this. All of the money goes directly to saving people's lives. And that is what Jesus Christ wants us to do. Jesus Christ says, I was hungry, you did not feed me. I was thirsty, you did not give me drink. I was in prison, you did not visit me. I was naked, you did not give me clothing. And they say, well, when, oh Lord, were you naked and hungry and thirsty? And he says, I never even knew you. So Matthew 25, in which this verse is said, Matthew 25 gives us instructs us on the obligation that we have toward the persecuted. That's why Christ says to St. Paul, he says, Paul, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Meaning, Christ identifies himself with the persecuted church. So when we are helping the persecuted church, when we tend to the wounds of a Christian, we are tending to the wounds of Christ. And that is really what sets apart I believe, the true Christian from the false Christian, one who helps the persecuted and one who, like the callous priest who continued to walk by as the man was laying there dying, didn't do anything. And, of course, we have the Good Samaritan who did come and bring that man to an inn and tended to his wounds and rescued him. That is the one that God honors.
Yeah, amen. He Yeshua even said, whenever you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so he does definitely identify himself with the persecuted, you know. And it, again, as we were talking tonight, folks, in the first half, we were talking about how people invite, I mean, how many radio programs do you hear? And you can send me an email and let me know, because I'd like to know where they're at, that talk about this very subject that we're talking about. But they mostly just ignore what's going on in the Middle East, so therefore they're ignoring actually Bible prophecy, because this is Bible prophecy. It was predicted that it would happen, and the American church is just totally, to me, for the most part, ignored, except for the few people that I mentioned. Anyway, at Shoebat.com, that's S-H-O-E-B-A-T.com, at Shoebat.com, you can find many examples of this, and there is an orange, when you first get over there, there's an orange banner that says RescueChristians.org, and it says, be a part of the greatest Christian rescue mission in history. Now, Ted, back to that. I remember kind of when you first guys first started this, you were just in Pakistan at that time, weren't you?
Yes, we were in Pakistan for about 3 years, and then we met with a nun by the name of Sister Hatun Dojan. She's an Eastern Orthodox nun from Turkey. She lives in Germany. She was awarded the Medal of Honor in Germany for her actions, because she has saved countless lives in Jordan, in Iraq, in Syria, in Turkey. Let me just give you one example of what the type of work this woman does. She is really a modern-day saint. She went to Jordan recently. We wrote an article about this. She went to Jordan recently. She met with Christian refugees from Iraq in Jordan. And there was a 9-year-old girl who was in the captivity of Muslims when she was there. She was a 9-year-old girl, and she was raped for 19 days. When Sister Hatun Dojan found out what was happening, she paid the ransom money, which went up to $33,000, and bought the girl and rescued her and brought her back to her parents. This is the type of work that she does. She deals with this issue every single day. When she went to Syria one time, she met with one of the Syrian jihadists who converted to Christianity. He left Islam, became Christian. And even though he became Christian, he was a new convert, he still had emotional trauma from some of the actions that he committed, the horrific actions that he committed as a jihadist. And he began to talk about what he did. And what he used to do was behead Christians. And he says, the reason why we behead Christians is because they are Muslims who believe that if you wash your hands, literally wash your hands, I'm not talking figuratively, but physically wash your hands in the drained blood of Christians, Allah will give you salvation. So what we used to do, this is what he said, what we used to do is cut the Christian's head off, drain the blood, and put the blood in little glass bottles and sell them $100,000 a piece. I wrote an article on this, and people were saying that I was writing blood libels against Muslims. Christians were accusing me of writing blood libels against Muslims. And I said, no, this is the reality. This is the reality, because when the Jews were living in Iraq, now there's only a few Jews, handful of Jews left in Iraq.
Right.
But when there was a Jewish population in Iraq, the Iraqis were well known for walking randomly up to Jewish people, stabbing their bodies, their shoulders, or their arms with little needles, and then sucking the blood out. And they would say that Jewish blood tastes the sweetest. Really? Not only that, but there's a story from the Middle Ages. Salah ad-Din, the great Muslim war leader, when he defeated the Crusades in the Battle of Hattin, he took a very well-known French crusader by the name of, I believe his name was Renaud de Châtillon, and he took the Châtillon, cut his head off, and then he took his blood into his hands and smeared his blood on his forehead. As a way of, really a way of showing to Allah that he shed the blood of the Christian, of his enemy. So these types of things exist in Islam. In fact, the Kurds, the Kurdish Muslims,
mm-hmm.
and the Turkish Muslims, they are still those today who believe this, they would kill Christians with the belief that if they bathed their hands in their blood, they would receive salvation. This is really a pagan belief that somehow got into the Islamic religion. I mean, we all know that it's all demonic, but
right.
I don't know how it did, but it's in there. I mean, it's in the Muslim world. It's something that's been believed in for a while. So this is very real, and this is the type of stuff that she deals with. So we support her. We partnered with her. We are her American partners, and we've been supporting her for months now. And she has been going into all these refugee camps and all these dangerous countries like Syria, like Iraq, like Turkey and Jordan, rescuing Christians, girls who are raped, and other horrific atrocities such as that. So if you go to rescuechristians.org and give what you can, you will know 100%. This is your chance, really, to know 100% that your money is going to actually save a life. Because many organizations out there, they give Bibles or they give some medical treatment here and there. But unlike them, we Rescue Christians, we actually tell people. We have videos of the people we rescue. We interview them. We got numerous videos on the internet of people we actually rescued giving their testimony and how we rescued them. We show people, this is what your money has done. This is the benefit of your donation. You are actually saving a life by giving a donation.
Yeah, that's just fantastic. Actually, this leaves me speechless in a sense. You know, I'm feeling better at peace with myself after speaking with you because, like I say, this has been such a festering wound, so to speak, for me. I don't know, it started really getting, I know it's been going on for a long time, but, you know, it just started getting worse over the last year and where, you know, I'm just really frustrated with it. A good question for you. There's a guy that he sent a text and he wanted to know something. And he says, is it really there an increase in persecutions right now, or is it just that we're hearing more about it right now?
No, there's definitely an increase. There's most definitely an increase. I mean, stuff like the stuff that's happening now, we didn't really hear about stuff like this in the 90s. We didn't hear stuff like this in the 80s and the 60s and the 70s. My dad, when he was a terrorist, didn't even conceive of people doing things like what they're doing today. I mean, drinking blood. And in Syria, I mean, we were some of the first people to write on this, but there was a Syrian jihadist who, after a battle, took the liver of his enemy. He literally just took a knife, opened up the body, pulled the liver out, and ate the liver raw right there in front of the camera. My dad was looking at this. He says, even when I wanted to behead Jewish soldiers, we didn't even dream of stuff like this. We would never, he says, even the terrorists of my time, he told me, back in the 70s and the 80s, he says, we never even dreamt that stuff like this would ever happen. So this is really what you're seeing now is truly a revival back to pure Islam. We are really going back to the Middle Ages in that you have the Turks rising up, wanting to revive the Ottoman Empire. You have Islamic fundamentalism, puritanical Islam, not the Islam of the 70s and the 80s, not the Islam of putting a bomb in a building and running away, but the true puritanical form of Islam, which consists of human sacrifice and cannibalism and mass rapes, institutionalized rapes, because that's exactly what the Ottoman Empire did. They institutionalized rapes, meaning in war you have things like this that happen, a soldier's rape and all this.
Right.
But institutionalized rape is that the commanding officers, not only that, but the top powers of a government commanding their soldiers to rape as a means to completely and utterly demean and conquer a people. That is what the Ottoman Empire did. And so you see Turkey, which is the most powerfully militarily country
mm-hmm.
in the Muslim world. You have it right now giving all this money and all these weapons, tons of weapons, literally tons of weaponry, to Syria. You have Turkey right now competing with Iran, and who's going to be the top dog in the Muslim world? Turkey is beating Iran because Turkey has the numbers and the money and the weapons. And so they are giving all these weapons to the jihadists in Syria because they want to weaken Iran, which is their enemy, the Shiite enemy. And so Turkey, go on the internet. Turkey right now is wanting to revive something called Neo-Ottomanism. And that is this aspiration to revive the Ottoman Empire.
Wow.
And that's what they're doing. That's why you see Turkey getting involved in Egypt and Turkey getting involved in Syria. Because, and this is my prediction, America has such a great trust for Turkey as an ally that one day there's going to be a conundrum. Who is going to keep order in Syria? Turkey will come and volunteer itself and say, we will stabilize Syria. We will bring Syria back to order. We will stabilize Egypt. We will bring Egypt back to order. America will say, okay, that's a good idea. Turkey will now, because America highly esteems the government of Turkey as a model for the Muslim world, as a model that the Muslim world should follow, because it is technically a first world country,
mm-hmm.
and it is perceived as a civilized nation. So the Americans will say, okay, allow the Turks to control. And you will see this coming from both Republican and Democrat. Allow the Turks to control those regions. Not explicitly control them, like, you know, completely occupying them, but subtly and gradually establishing its influence in those countries. And then eventually it will control those nations with puppet politicians, kind of like what America did to Japan, occupied Japan and then neutered Japan. And in a way, America controls Japan.
Right.
It's kind of like that, where Turkey will control these nations as a puppeteer controls the puppet. And they will stabilize those countries. And that will only be boosting up the influence and the prestige and the power of Turkey. And so what we're really doing by supporting these jihadists is supporting Turkey. We're helping Turkey. We're helping Turkey rise to the empire that they want to be. That's my prediction for that region.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. A lot of this, folks, if you want to figure out how all this fits into Bible prophecy, again, you go over there at shoebot.com, and your dad made a DVD series on the end times.
Yes.
And it's available over there, and there's also some books, but God's War on Terror that's how I found your dad. I read that book, and wonderful book, but it's a different view than what, you know, most mainstream Christianity has on the end times.
Yes, absolutely. And we actually made a recent DVD that people can go purchase. It's called Christian Militancy, Christianity's Warfare with Islam and Evil and Tyranny, the history of really, truly Christian warfare, physical Christian warfare. It's called Christian Militancy, and they can go to shoebot.com. They can click on the store and type in Christian Militancy. It's only $15. It's a four-hour, two-disc DVD special that we have, and you will not be the same after watching this DVD. Bible
right.
studies will never be the same again. With that said, go ahead.
No, go ahead, finish up.
Oh, I wanted to say that I encourage all the people to go to rescuechristians.org. That is rescuechristians.org. Give what you can and save a life. It's not that difficult. Give what you can. You will be saving a life. You know 100% that your money is going there to deliver an oppressed Christian brother or sister from rape, from being killed by a mob, from being killed by a Sharia court in Pakistan, from being tormented by the Islamic oppressors, the Islamic tyrants. You will know, even if you give $25, you're saving a life. You give $50, $100. You're saving a life. So I encourage all those listening, please go to rescuechristians.org. That is rescuechristians.org, and you will save a life.
We got a few minutes left. Let's go with this. Aren't Christians in Syria, some of them already paying reparations to save their own lives right now?
Yes. In the city of Raqqa, the Muslims invaded all that city. It's called the city of Raqqa. And they said that if you do not pay the jizya tax, which is the tax imposed on Christians in Sharia, you will be subject to execution. You will be subject to the sword of Islam. In fact, there was an imam from the Al-Nusra Front terrorist group, and he said that we will unsheathe the sword of Islam on all of the Christians if they do not conform and comply with the code, the Islamic code of Allah. So, yes, absolutely. And also in Syria, they are establishing Sharia courts, and they say that if you do not convert to Islam, you have to pay the jizya. If you refuse to pay the jizya, then you will have to be executed. And very disturbingly, the Sharia courts say that you will be a sacrifice to Allah if you do not pay the jizya. This is what they say. They say you will be as a sacrificial animal. So if you do not pay the jizya, you become a human sacrifice. So we're seeing paganism, literally. I mean, people are like, oh, that's back in the day, you know, the Aztec Empire. No, you're seeing it in front of you. You're seeing what the ancient Christians themselves witnessed. You're seeing what the conquistadors saw when they came to ancient Mexico. You're seeing human sacrifice. That's what we are witnessing, pagan human sacrifice.
Wow. It's simply amazing. And folks, if you go over here to this site, if you think, well, he gave a couple of instances or whatever, there you have a lot of articles posted over here at shubat.com, and that's just on the first page. There's article after article about all this. And so, folks, you know, you need to help. And a lot of people I know, you'd think, well, I don't have $1,000 to give or something like that. You know, $5, $10, $20, $30, $40, $50, $100 all helps because it adds up. And that's the same thing I say when you all donate to our ministry. It doesn't take $1,000 to donate to help somebody or buy somebody a pair of shoes. And in this case, you're saving lives. And so, you know, it adds up. So give what you can and share this program with others. And share it with the others. If you really don't have any money that you feel led to give, then share this radio program with other people. Share Shubat.com with other people. Share RescueChristians.org with other people. There's even some places over here where you can hit like, so which means it'll get to Facebook. Share this around. There's nothing greater than if you could share save a life. What do you think, Ted?
Yeah, absolutely. And here's another thing. People who say, I don't have enough money, I can just give only a little. Let me tell you something. The woman who gave the two little coins to Jesus, Jesus honored that because that's all that she could give. Don't forget also the story of the two talents when the master says to the man with one coin, to the man with one talent, even if you just gained a little bit of interest, I would have honored that. So even if you give just a little bit to the persecuted, if that's all you can give, God will honor that. That's what people need to understand. Even if you give two coins, even if you give $20, $50, $45, you are giving something that is honorable to God. And not only that, you are saving the life of a Christian, which is something that God honors more than anything.
Well, absolutely.
So go to RescueChristians.org and just give what you can.
Yeah, folks, that's RescueChristians.org, and like I say, if you go over to Shubat.com, one of the first things you're going to see is an orange banner that says RescueChristians.org, and so you can click on that. And of course, with this radio program, if you're not listening to it live, wherever you're listening at it, there should be a link to this, to the blog and to that. Well, Ted, I appreciate what you being on with me tonight, and we'll do it again sometime. And I'm praying for your ministry and all of you and your family. So thanks for being on with me.
You too, sir. Thanks for having me on. God bless you.
Okay. Goodbye and shalom to you. Bye-bye, brother. folks, really, over here, I'm going to read you the headings of a couple of these articles. First one, 17-year-old girl gets savagely raped by Muslim father and brother. Muslims massacre poor families in cold blood. Crowd of 250 violent and rage-filled people attack pastor. And it looks like the picture of the pastor is hanging upside down and he's burning with fire. Muslims demand pedophilia to be legalized. Muslims behead Christian man and feed his body to dogs. In a good article, it says, well, why pastors don't fight evil, but racist Egyptian woman calls Obama, whoa, wait a minute, that's funny. Racist Egyptian woman calls Obama a donkey. I haven't read that one yet. could she be right? Anyway, I shouldn't laugh. Anyway, Christians must become more militant if they are to survive. And, you know, the list just goes on, and there is a lot of pages. You need to go over there and check it out. That's at shoebot.com. And, of course, that's also where Ben Barrett writes over there. And also you have Wally Shoebat, and you also have Keith Davies that also does writing over there. And, of course, Wally Shoebat, who used to be a PLO terrorist. Go over there, explore it, pray about supporting those Christians. And if you feel so led and you have any nickels and dimes left, you can donate them to the Wichita Mission Church because we do need your help. But, folks, we must remember that there is only one God, and that's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. No other way. You have to be through Yeshua HaMashiach. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Do you even know what love means? Love means that you care more about that person than you care about yourself. Are you capable of love? Are you capable of messianic love? Of giving your life for Yeshua? What if you're asked one day to deny Christianity like some of these people are over there? If they could convert to Islam and their lives would be saved, instead they allow their heads to be sawed off with a short knife. Really? Could you do that? Could you do that for your faith? And then you have enough gall to say that they're not important to prophecy, they're not important? Wow, that's just really too much. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Always, always, always be a blessing to others. Well, I'm going to get out of here. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or no one else can until an hour from now. This is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.